We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Real people,
real celebrities,
real talk.
Join the Breakfast Club.
Blast off in your
weekday
ear.
Morning, 6 to 10.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Special guest in the building.
He's from Queens.
From my borough of Queens.
right.
Virgo.
And he's late.
Right.
Yeah. Oh no, that's bullshit. No, he's like 2 weeks late. You're supposed to be here.
The week before Easter.
Now, just for y'all know. I was in my feelings. I was like, damn, these are my family members. Not one of them going to call me. I thought about it. I said, let me not lose my luck. You know what I'm saying? Let me wise up real quick. But
now,
yeah,
N in Nori stands for nice guy now, I noticed. I saw you on Twitter making up with everybody, saying happy birthday to Prodigy.
Who did you make up to?
I said happy birthday. No, happy birthday to the actual infamous album.
Happy anniversary, 20-year anniversary.
Hell yeah.
I saw you, Nas made up.
That's a good thing.
It's a great thing.
I didn't know you and Nas had beef to that extent, but then when I saw the interview you did with Doggy Diamonds,
right.
And then I remember, oh yeah, Nas did come up here and call Nori.
It's Power 105 history. It's the biggest moment of and Power 105.
Before the Breakfast Club.
I apologize. Y'all started from the bottom and got it up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, we had seen each other and, you know, whatever. But just for that moment, I didn't realize how big that moment was. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, I love the people that he's rolling with right now. Like, he's rolling with the new version of Queensbridge. And these dudes just happen to be like Capone's little mans. Like,
gotcha.
That grew up to be grown men.
Mm-hmm.
And they holding themselves down, you know what I'm saying, and whatever. So
these rappers, goons?
No, these is just dudes from the hood, you know what I'm saying? Big up Left, big up Adam. I want to keep bigging up everybody because, you know, I don't know if they want their name.
Their name's out.
He got the right crew with him. And I had seen Nas. Nas came to Miami twice while I was there. He came to Cameo, and I was too drunk, and I seen he had, like people that I didn't know. I'd rather deal with you with hood people. And then I was with Busta Rhymes, me and Busta, performed at I think the Dolphin Stadium or something like that. And then Nas came on after, and I went in Nas' dressing room. And again, it wasn't nobody from Queensbridge, so I walked out because I didn't want to to be a funny situation. You understand what I'm saying?
So you just walk into his dressing room and be like, nah, let me.
No, I had just, it was the backstage. I had just performed with Busta, so it was only people that was basically artists that was there.
Okay.
But I didn't want him to come out the bathroom and just see me and just be like, that's some awkward feeling. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It would be awkward for me if the tables was reversed. So I this might get a little emotional. You know what I'm saying? I came to see him.
You want some Remy?
This time.
No,
Remy ain't gonna make me emotional. Remy gonna make me want to shoot something. I haven't drank brown liquor in over like 10 years.
Thank God.
You know what I'm saying?
Saving the population.
So so when I seen him, it messed me up because I had only remembered my wrongdoings, you know what I'm saying, in the situation. And when he seen him, the first thing he said to me was, I'm sorry. And as a man, I didn't realize how much sorry meant. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you be beefing with somebody, and there's something so simple like that, sorry, and it's like, oh, shit, I forgive you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And we forgive each other, and it was just so, it was, as a man, it was great to see him, who he grown to be. You know what I'm saying? Everybody know he's the best. He might be the best lyricist. He might be the best rapper in the world, but the fact is, he paid attention that, you know, our drama first occurred from his wrongdoing.
Right.
And I said sorry, too. And we just like, yo, we dropped. So he offered me some Henny. I said, that's the only thing I'm not going to do, is drink Henny. And then we drank some Rose. And it was so honorable of him, man. He looked at me and said, yo, smiles is better now.
But why it took 8 years, though?
Because, like I said, I just didn't want to come around, you know what I'm saying, the wrong people. So right now, it's the perfect time. It's just like Mayweather and Pacquiao. Like, they could have fought 5 years ago, but they're fighting now. And I think that maybe I needed to grow more, you know what I'm saying? Because I got parts in here that's wrong, too, you know what I'm saying? And fuck it, man. Like,
did you have any questions, though? Like,
nope.
Yo, why? Why you call my name?
Nah,
it wasn't,
you know,
random when you called your name.
You know, I'm going to be honest. This is we had spoke after that, and we saw each other after that. So I don't know what, you know. I was young. It was dumb on my behalf. But like I said, when we seen each other, he looked at me. He said, "Oh, smiles is better now."
Mm-hmm. Like, your smile is popping right now.
I don't know if he. I think she's
she's been horny all morning. I'm young. No. She been saying little
so,
stuff.
And he said to me, "Let's go to the stage." And Liv is, you know, it's not really a stage. So when we went and we got on stage, it was like, it was a moment of hip hop.
But the conversation was at the club? Y'all had the initial conversation?
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying?
That was last week, right?
I was supposed to get with them, and I messed around and did something wrong, and so that was the only place we could. And I was like, I just got to get it over with, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm sorry. Like, Nas was my friend. Mm-hmm. Like, I ate in his house before. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't take back something like that, you know what I'm saying? And then, when he said that, he looked at us, and he's like, man, let's go show the world. And I didn't know what he meant. So I thought he was going to grab the mic from Stevie J and be like, you know what I'm saying? Look at me and Nori together. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I thought he was going to do that. He was like, put on some music. And I'm looking, I'm like, I wasn't
so y'all
ready.
Perform.
We performed.
Were they body in the trunk?
Hell no. We looked at each other like, I ain't ready. Like, I ain't, you know what I'm saying? But it was a great moment. And I really, like, respect who he turned out, you know what I'm saying? I ain't seen him in so long. I really respect who he turned out to be.
He's an icon, man.
And, you know, he's my friend, so I'm really, like, we hung out 2 days after. I ain't take no pictures. We ain't do nothing. I was on my left rack. He's on his Queensbridge, you know, and it was beautiful, man. It's a beautiful thing.
So now y'all talking about doing a song together?
Yeah, we need to do Body in the Trunk, too. That Body in the Trunk is my favorite.
I would never, like, Envy, you my guy. And I know that's your favorite. But you know why we can't do Body in the Trunk Part 2? Because it was a moment.
Body in a long time.
And yeah, it's true. Very true. and it was a moment. Like, right. I would never try to do Banned from TV Part 2. Like, you know, a lot of people have tried. I really wish they would stop touching my music. You know what I'm saying? Like, because when they get older, and they realize that these young kids are touching it and not doing it righteous, like, you can't get on Sometimes, which is a record I dedicated to my father and Pun, and talk about Sometimes I want to flip bricks. And sometimes, like, I don't actually like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that was a record for my father, so... Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people, if anybody ever tried to get me on the record and I didn't do it, it's because they tried to recreate one of my records without really showing me the respect. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you know, some of these records I don't own. I don't own all the publishing. Mm-hmm. But some of them I own spiritually. It's like a person who lives in the hood. lived in the hood 30 years. They don't own that apartment, but they feel like they own that apartment. Right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Certain things you just gotta leave alone, like a ban from TV.
I'm not doing nobody.
Nobody's gonna spit
part
like
two.
That.
I'm not, and there's nobody that can replace Pun. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nobody that could replace Pun. So it's disrespect to even try to attempt that. It's been a lot of great Latin rappers after Pun. I'm sorry, but nobody ain't been.
Doesn't his son rap though?
I think his son could throw him on, you know.
I
know this is a curveball, but I think his son should shine with Joe Crack. Like, that's who Pun rhymed like before Pun got with Joey. And Joey showed Pun how to make hit records. I don't care what everybody, I don't care about no politics, don't bring up none of that to me. That is factual evidence. I knew Big Dog Punisher, and when he got with Fat Joe showed that man how to make hit records. You know what I'm saying?
So you're saying Pun's son now sounds like how Pun sounded.
He sounds like Pun when Pun had no guidance, which is not a diss.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's a diamond. A diamond is still a diamond. You just got to polish that more. Right. And it's just like Remy.
You've been here enough to know you can't curse.
I know. I'm sorry.
You want to go online?
He said, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, because I don't want to go online.
Express yourself, Nori.
Yeah, I just like Remy. Like, I hear Remy, and I'm like, I feel like, I think Joe should be behind that. You know what I'm saying? Because that chemistry, you just can't buy it. You know what I'm saying? You can't force it neither. So as long as they don't force it, I think there's still something there.
Pun is like dumb nice, like on the level, and it's going, people hate when I say this, but on the level of Notorious B.I.G. nice. Mm-hmm. But they never mention him with the greats. Only people you hear mention him with the greats is Puerto Rican, Spanish.
That was mad racist, like, but I get it.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. You know, you're right. You know, to me, Pun was actually, like, if you listen to his first album, like, he rhymed with people like Black Thought. Mm. Because he thought lyrically in that realm. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think most black people get that if you're not even, you know what I'm saying? Damn, I'm black and Spanish, so... If you're not, you know what I'm saying? Like, because Pun didn't want to be nice for a Puerto Rican. Pun wanted to be nice. Mm-hmm. But that's what, like, I'm not rhyming with Black Thought consciously. Like, if I'm on Black Thought, hold on. Let me go write something. Right. I got to write. Let me take 10 days. Yeah. And Pun consciously wanted to let people know, like, this is how nice I am. And sometimes, like, Pun was a backpack rapper. You know what I'm saying? Without Fat Joe. Like, you know what I'm saying? And don't get me wrong, like, That's what I see. You know what I'm saying? Fat Joe know how to make hit records. To this day, you go to Fat Joe, he just constantly want to play your hit record. Yo, listen, Nori. You know what I'm saying? Like, he that's his thing. And that's what I think what Pun is. Pun is, in heart, he was the underground of the underground. You know what I'm saying?
Now, I see you've also been having some conversations with Damon Dash as well.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. Go ahead.
Yeah, so
why is it weird?
It's pretty weird.
I don't know. It's weird. That's my man.
State Property 3?
Yeah, State Property, stop. it's true. State Property, I hope it happens, man. I first spoke to Beans. It was crazy because I seen Dame on here. And I was
did
just
you?
Like,
yeah. You saw that?
He was here?
He was here.
Everybody remember that one.
That's, you know, and I just felt like, I felt like I owed him a phone call. I didn't know why. I just like, yo. Nah, I'm trying to change this to a joke. Y'all foul.
But why did you feel like you had to call him?
It was just something went right. I just felt like.
Something was awkward.
I wanted to say I love you. Like, you know
what
I mean? Like,
he needed a hug. That's like, what it sounded like.
I don't want to go that far.
That. No,
but,
you
know, I just felt like, you know, Dame did so much things for a lot of rappers indirectly and directly that I just felt like I owed him a phone call. So I was just like, yo, Dame, you know, I don't know what's going on. And he was in good spirits. He put me on the phone with three different people. He was like, hold on, I'm going to put you on the phone. I was like, Super Harlem. I'm like, wow, that's that Super Harlem. Like, you know what I mean? So I'm like, and then he said, yo, I just spoke to Beans. And it was just like, whoa, okay. Because I had thought they had something. And we got on the phone. And for 3 days straight, we was talking and speaking about Hong Kong. And let's go over here. And let's go over here. And It was just weird for me because if this can happen, this would be a surreal moment. This would be real. Like, but
it's gotta be an ill story though.
It has to be because State Property 2, like, you gotta realize I would have never played in State Property 2 had Petey Crack not got locked up. Mm. So when they presented me with the role, I was like, I didn't like it. You know what I'm saying? So I said, if you're gonna make me act, If you're gonna make me be somebody, it's gonna be me. I don't want to act. I want to be me.
Oh, so your role was supposed to be Petey Cracks.
My role was supposed to be Petey Cracks, and I ain't like it. I ain't like Pedro. That's my man, Petey Cracks. But I can't call me Pedro. I felt like it was racist.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Every time they said Guala, they actually had Guala in the script. I was like, yo, this is foul. This is for like.
But you worked for El Pollo Loco.
I was El Pollo Loco. So, but that's what it was. I changed my name to El Pollo Loco, and I made them write the script. To cater to me.
Gotcha.
And I think I think Dame is still powerful enough to pull it off. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like me, him, and Beans on the phone probably wasn't enough. It probably had to be in face because, you know, Dame is smarter than me. Let me just, what I mean by that is I could do two things at once. I can probably roll a blunt and send a text. As far as I go.
Okay.
As far as I go. This dude is doing the clothing. Like that's much smarter than me. Like I need A, B, and C. Like I'm an A, B, and C dude. Mm-hmm. When you get to W and all that, I get confused. So I got friends with you. So, you know what I'm saying? And I got the goon Ching Bing, who just came home for 10 years. I need that to help me out. I got 7th grade education. I know I could. I know I'm a smart to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm street smart, like yeah. But I think Dame is he gonna get it together. I think it's gonna happen.
I mean, it was announced. Like it seemed like they announced it. Like
no, I mean I was with it. I announced it too, and it's just you know I'm feeling like he's going through. You know what I'm saying? What he's going through, which I can't speak about. I don't know nothing. What is this? Chatty Patty, we ain't gonna do that.
Even though he puts out all the business.
And we ain't gonna be, this is my thing. I'm gonna give y'all this. You ain't gonna be negative Nancy. That's the other
negative
one.
Negative
I know
Nancy.
I know not a negative Nancy. People hit me, was like, yo, Nas. I'm like, what is this about? Like, if you got beef with him, that's your thing. I ain't never hit you and say that.
Yeah.
It must be like, it's certain people that didn't. Like, there's certain people that just, they just want to be negative about everything.
That's
you know what
true.
I'm saying? And negative Nancys, man, let's watch out for them. You know what I mean? Word up.
Could you and Prodigy ever be cool?
Yo, listen, man.
I told you,
did shout out
tweeted.
The infamous album.
Listen, man, I never, and I didn't want to speak about because I didn't want to feel like every time we come up here, we speak about him. But
we do,
because I just have to be real. Listen, at the end of the day, if you smack me, right, and I shoot you, I'm wrongera.
I'm wrongera
for shooting you.
Right.
But if you would have never smacked me, you would have never got shot.
I'm glad you used that analogy because I've been using this all week.
Would have been
when it comes to the Baltimore riots.
Okay.
If somebody smacks you,
fact.
And I say this about anything,
right?
It don't matter how you react. You
right.
should have never smacked me.
You should have never smacked
me. You can't be
me.
Mad at the person's reaction.
That's a fact. So I don't understand why he's mad at me. Like at the end of the day, you wrote the book and you called me and you said, I didn't diss you. Mm-hmm. I felt it. Whatever I said on Twitter that day, I believe I don't really erase you. So, but I diffused the statement.
Mm-hmm.
When the book came out, you got people like Angela Yee interviewing him saying, yo, you know, Nori got beat up in here. He's like, yeah. Like, no, dude, you just hit me and said that you didn't mean that. And I know the real story.
Mm-hmm.
And I won. I really won this. Like
you
this
were
is.
Wrong-a-ra.
I was wrong-a-ra. No. I wasn't wrong-a-ra then. No. I was right-a-ra then. I was that whole situation. I'm really right. I'm really the righteous. That's why, by the grace of God, like nothing really happened to me. You know, other than the jump in, and then we got up and we got them.
Mm-hmm.
But so what I'm saying is, by you bringing it up, this was some street. This was between us.
Right.
Like by you bringing it up, and then by me. Capitalizing off of the situation, me being fans of y'all, and every time they slipped up, Havoc said this, I'm on y'all heels. Let's do it. Call
yes,
me up. Call me up. I'm wrong or wrong.
Right.
But you were wrong first.
Would you ever write a book?
I am writing a book.
But if you do it, you got to put everything. You got to be completely honest.
I did.
You got to apologize a couple times if you haven't read it.
I have no problem. Huh?
Is it going to be like Prodigy book? A Prodigy book was dope.
Listen, his book.
The thing is,
I'm going to tell my history.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to say, like, what I did or what I heard. And if I say what I heard, I won't place myself in that situation. That's my only problem.
with people who do books like that. When they say, yo, you know, we was there, you know, we went to go ride and we went to, nah, you wasn't there.
You heard about it.
You heard about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I was there and I let them things go. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, if I shoot at you and y'all get shot, your crew members is probably going to go out, yo, he was nervous. He was like, no, but you still got popped.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
A shot is a shot.
I don't care.
But like, you got to talk about the whole history because it's very interesting. I know right. some of it, and it's right. interesting.
I love the Prodigy's book. I think Prodigy's book should be a movie.
You know what? I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to read it. But I was going to say I'll read it, but I probably would.
I would.
I'm trying to get into audiobooks while, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, jog and shit like that. So I would look into it, but my book is going to be more of my experience, not to take anything away, because I don't have no beef with Prodigy. Like, I kind of hate answering those questions, but I see he's mad at me, and he's mad at me because of my reaction. Mm-hmm. And you just got to be a grown man, just like we all got to be a grown man and just get over it. But my book is going to be based on my story.
You have a title yet?
I was calling it. I forget what I was called it, man. I'm
on
not
the
even
run, Eaton.
On the it run. On the run. On the run. Yeah, Jay took my title on the run.
Maybe right, Super Thug instead of Superhead.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm not in Superhead.
No, I'm kidding.
I'm not in Superhead. I avoided that situation.
Good for you.
Superhead.
You have a dope story. Just you and the industry and how you
tell
dealt
us
with
something,
people.
Leak something real quick.
Yeah, leak something.
See, I don't.
I think I told the story before. One time, I'm in my basement doing my mixtape. Nori calls me, and he has a DJ hanging upside down.
Yeah,
that they're torturing because the DJ leaked the Nori record, and the DJ told Nori that I said it was okay to play the record.
He never smoked weed. Yeah, his memory.
Envy
got a lot of war stories.
So Nori calls me. Nori says, Envy, I'm going to ask you one time. Did you give this guy permission to leak this record? Now, if you say you gave him permission, I'm going to let him go. But if you say you didn't, we're going to tear his ass up. I said, Nori, I'm going to be honest. I didn't give permission. Oh, I start hearing this. Click.
But I'm trying to
say DJ's name, Chatty Patty.
I'm trying to think. Did Pun do that to Who Kid first? Or
he's Who Kid in the trunk.
No, you did it first.
I did it first. Okay. All right. So I might have taught Pun how to do it.
So what did you do to the DJ?
Nah, you know, at the time.
Why was he screaming?
At the time, you know, we had dropped the War Report and we had like 18 tracks. I'm just giving you an example. I don't know. And on his mixtape, he had like 11.
Wow.
And I think he was trying to big us up, but he didn't realize that people wasn't buying our album. They were going buying your mixtape. They were, you know what I mean? It wasn't even downloads back then, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, to make records back then, it was so hard. Like, to get Nas in the studio, to get a Busta Rhymes in the studio, there was no emailing you. There was no... It was an 8-inch rail. You know what that looked like? That's like a little weight.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you run around a little midget. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So if you get Nas on your record, you get Mobb Deep on your record, this was hard task. So... for him to just put the whole thing on the album, and like he blamed Clue and Envy. You know what I'm saying? He's like, yo, Clue. Me and Clue had beef, but you know, we never spoke about it. We had it like men, handled it like men. Clue was my man. You know what I'm saying?
So it was one of those things. Whichever one of these guys I catch first is getting hung from the roof.
Oh no! He blamed Clue and Envy, but Clue and Envy didn't do it. It wasn't on their mixtapes. You know what I'm saying? They use it regularly, so he used it in a way where it was disrespect.
Now, what if Envy said that he did do it? Would you have went and hung him from the basement?
I think Envy would have told me, like, at the time. But like, Envy was actually close, man.
Okay. Like, he knew where I live.
Envy been getting a lot of money. He don't even know me no more. It takes me a week to call.
Well, you know, you did try to charge him all that money.
I still think he's exaggerating.
That was supposed to be a man.
My album has everybody.
Let me think. Now, let me.
Jay-Z.
I'm never defending myself. So
I call Nori. Nori says,
how much did he try to charge you?
I think it was the time when me and
Clue had beef. 30,000?
To this day.
I think it was the time me and Clue had beef, and I thought that I was like, yo, they're never going to mess with me on that side anyway. So maybe I did do that. Mm-hmm. I never denied it.
No, he was really hurt about that.
I was hurt when I found out he was hurt 10 years later.
Like, just randomly, he goes,
damn.
Yo, I used to, me and Nori used to be in the same car. I used to drive him around.
Nori didn't have a license.
I still don't got a license.
You still don't have a license?
I got a permit. I'm working. I got a permit. I still don't got a license. Yo, tell him I never had.
Rayquan said something real the other day, though. He was like, if you my man, you know what I'm saying? I'll do it for you because you my man. But if you're getting a check from the label, let me get some of that bread, too.
Nah, it's true. Yo, I would be 100% honest. Foxy Brown taught me that. One day, Foxy hit me, and she was like, she jumped on my record, and she was like, yo, you going to give me $30,000 for it? I was like, oh, shit. Like, that was like extortion. Like, she was like, yo, I'm going to jump on it, but you going to give me $30,000
for it. Was that Bang Bang?
Nah, I don't think it was Bang. I think it was Nothing Remix, Homeboy. I can't remix. Uh-huh. So I gave her $30,000, and then 2 months later, she gave me $30,000 back for a hook. So I thought that was honorable. If you do charge me, if I do charge you, I'm going to give you that bread back. So I thought that was a way to hustle. So, yeah.
I always wondered about that Bang Bang record. I don't know why I randomly was thinking about this.
This is a good question.
Did y'all have beef with Biggie and Junior Mafia them too?
I mean, after that record came out, obviously the shootout. Yeah. So, but did we have beef? Nah, it was really like I don't want to call her Inga because I was calling her Foxy already. So, you know, Foxy was a person I considered my sister at the time, and still do. You know what I'm saying? We had the studio, and she had wrote a direct response to Kim, but she wrote like 17 verses. Like the verse on Bang Bang was actually like the I don't know how you call it, the less disrespectful one, right?
Let me just say about Foxy, too. She will pop off. She will pop off off the mouth in a minute. Like she's the one that when you go to the club, you're gonna get into a fight because of what she says.
But why on the Bang Bang record though?
I guess we were like, you know, we were being petty, you know what I'm saying? Alchemist did the beat. It was kind of down with Mobb. He's down with Mobb Deep. And Foxy walked in the studio and was like, yo, give me a record to jump on. And when she did it, this was like I said, it was the less disrespectful. And I didn't know how disrespectful it was till I brung it to Puff. You know, me and Puff was cool. And Puff was like, he was turned up. He was like, no, we don't you ever let somebody diss me on your record. If them motherfuckers want to diss me, you can diss me. I was like, so Puff, you don't want me to use it? He's like, you cool, you can use it. Like, I knew he wasn't a hater. I was like, Puff is a different type of animal. Right. Like, he flipped, don't get me wrong. Puff actually flipped on me. He was like, yo, don't you ever let it. And I'm like, that's when I realized Puff was gangster way before the Night and Live with Drake, because I was there that night too. But we'll move on.
No, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, we'll go back to that. We'll go back to that. But it was real. So Puff, I didn't really know what she was saying to Kim, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I had never met Little Kim to this day. I never met Little Kim.
That's crazy.
Kim holds a grudge. She probably still don't like you.
What, against me? Yeah. I was in a club with her. And we were supposed to do the BET cipher together, and she ain't saying anything.
You've never met Little Kim?
I've never been in the same room. I've been in the same room, but I don't think we've ever, like, I met Big, you know what I'm saying? And you know, C's my man. Like that's probably the most embarrassing beef I ever had in hip hop.
You and C's?
No, Junior Mafia. Period. Because here I was. I used to smoke blunts with Big and Branson. Like I remember one day we went to Branson. Redman and Biggie Smalls is behind. They the one serving the weed. Biggie Smalls and Redman, my dude. Look, Branson had to go do something, and he left these dudes with the keys to the weed spot.
So Branson was the weed man.
I'm not blowing up nothing. Everybody knows that. Yeah, and
I'm not from here.
And Big and Redman was in there. They're like, yo, they giving you lollipops. What's up? What you want? You want a 50? You want 100? I'm like, yo, Big. He's like, yo, Eddie, because that's the dude who was running. He's like, Eddie left out, man. Me and Red is doing this. And these was back there, and me and Big smoked.
These were rappers. They was rapping at the time.
Yes, yeah. Wow. He had the cherry red Lex. The Lex truck he talking about. It was right outside. Yeah. I guess Big really ain't drive, so he's waiting for his people to come back. So until they came back, he was serving the weed. This is a fact. Me and Big sat outside, drank champagne, smoked, and for him to pass away and for us to have any friction, like I should have got on the phone with them immediately once Fox, you know what I'm saying, let her go, and you know Kim, let it be a girl fight. You know what I'm saying? Because immediately it transpired. And
they got to the point of gunshot.
They got federal,
What happens if you see Kim now, you think? You would say what's up?
He said last night, he said the other night.
No,
but he hasn't said nothing to her. Yeah. Would you say something?
Would you say sorry?
Oh, I wasn't there. Like, no, this is facts. What you talking about? I wasn't there. I don't got nothing to say sorry about.
Oh, the shots ran out, you wasn't around.
I wasn't there.
Oh, okay, got you.
I wasn't there. Nah, word. I wasn't there.
Y'all not put me there.
Nah, I wasn't there. I was not there. That's
but you were there at Live with Puffy.
I didn't see nothing. But what I seen was, I seen when Puff walked back into the club, like, it reminded me of, like, why I'm from New York. You know what I'm saying? Like, we get on some bullshit. Sometimes it don't matter what it is, no matter how much money you got, and I guess Puff got it off his chest, and when he walked through the lid, he was like, yo, he was walking through it. I was like,
he was hype.
I'm Sugar Puff. I'm scared. Like, nigga,
I'm like, no sucker.
I'm
like,
scared of Puff. That. He walked through. He was like, you know, what's up? You know, we over here. And every New York, like me and Fab, for some reason, me and Fab have never really kicked it at all. Like, just, it's, I don't figure it's ever been beef, but I felt like it's never been 100% love neither. Right. Like, his people's me cool with. But that night, Fab grabbed me. Was like, yo, what's good, my brother? I turned around. I gave him a hug. And he was like, yo, just in case I'm over here. I was like, bet, I'm over here. And that little thing just let me know that it was open. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then, you know, Boss was over here. Then Fat Joe was over here. And it was like, that's the only time I see New York show love is out of town.
Absolutely.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, even though me and Fab, like, I don't have his number, he don't have my number, there's no way in hell I could ever see anybody trying to front on him without me trying to get that person.
Right.
You think New York dudes be having beef with each other just because they don't simply walk up to each other and be like, yo, what's
That's
up,
That's why
man?
I like living in Miami, because, if I would have maybe approached Nas in New York, I'll give you an example, right? One day, one time I stayed in Miami for 6-8 months, right, straight. Mm-hmm. I came back to New York. I walk in the club. I'm like, yo, what's up? Yo, yo. My dudes was like, if you don't stop smiling, and I'm like, yo, it's winter time, and
you telling
me in the smoking section. I'm like, these dudes is literally like, they looking at me like, you chatty patty ass. Like, you're like, I'm like, and I'm looking like, what did I do? Like, they're like, yo, you wait, take that Miami shit off.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, that's an example.
It's a mentality.
Like, out here, it's like, yo, don't be happy even when you happy. Like, don't let the next man know you're happy, because it's so many of us that some people would take that as weakness.
Yeah,
and it's true.
Yeah.
But we not in jail. That's why I like Miami. I'm out there like this.
Having a good
I'm
time.
I'm doing the hang dance.
It feels like that. I was at Pro Styles party the other day, and everybody was, you know, rappers, was, everybody was there. We was on one side. And I wouldn't go over there and speak. I just was like, I'm not going over there.
He's
like
just
that.
A bougie queen.
No, how you feel. I'm not going over there. Listen, and then when I was leaving, I was like, what's wrong with me? Let me go speak
exactly.
To my
what's wrong with you? Like, Nori walked in here just now.
Right.
He ain't paying Nori no attention.
All right. Yeah, he was on. He's on. He was on. I don't know what he was on.
And then Nori had to be like, "Yo, we alright?"
Yeah, we alright. I thought he was gonna have a Dame Dad. Yeah. I was like, "Yeah, what's going on?"
I was watching the.
But did you and Dame though. Have beef back in the days or no?
No,
I've never met Dame before.
You never met him before.
It seemed like it was a beef. Right?
No, that's a lie. You never met him before.
One of y'all are salty about not signing at Rockefeller. I'm just saying. One of y'all. I just couldn't tell which one of y'all it was. Like, he might have gave you a deal. You might have said.
It started from the first question when I was like, yo, how did y'all meet? Because I honestly wanted to know.
No, let's talk about where it really started from.
Mm. Well, it really started from Charlamagne wearing the T-shirt and the hat. That said,
he had a T-shirt that had Jay-Z's picture that said legend.
That said what?
It said legend and had Jay-Z's face on it.
Yeah, he wore a T-shirt that said Rock Nation and Jay-Z. So he was kind of salty. So when I asked him, how did y'all meet? Because I was really curious.
Wait, that's in the interview you had that on?
Yeah, Rock Nation had Jay-Z T-shirt.
I didn't peep that.
So Damon
Dash, so teaching from the beginning.
He walked in here and the dog barked and he said the dog feels the bad energy.
And that's where it started. So when I asked him the question, he was already defensive. So you know, you defensive, I'm defensive.
Right.
I ain't gonna back down. You ain't gonna back down.
Right.
You know.
It's 2 months later. Why are you
like,
talking
like Fredro? Like Fredro, I ain't gonna lie. I feel like you would get along with Fredro. Like, I kid you not.
Nah, I don't think so. He lies too much for me.
I don't know nothing about that. But you know, they real cool dudes. I was like, I don't know. It's a rumor.
I like Sticky.
Like, it's a rumor about you somewhere that people is like, yo, Charlamagne goes at people. And I'm like, that's absolutely not with me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I got to judge. Like, it's a lot of friends that I have that people say, hey, that friend is a scumbag. Okay. He's not a scumbag with me.
Right.
So I have to judge this person based upon how they treat me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's just what it is.
I just like having an honest conversation. You like having an honest conversation.
I love it too, man. Like, I just told these people, man. Listen, man, I'm 37 years old. I sat on my balls the other day. Shit is real. I know I'm getting old. Like,
you sat on your balls and it's gravity?
Yeah, like,
that's
yo.
That's real.
That's real shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is how you know you're getting old.
Listen. Wait, hold on.
I ain't got no grays. Uh-huh. Go ahead. That means what?
So that means
gonna drop when you get a certain age.
So that means your gravity pulls your balls down, and that's why
for some reason
never
my balls
before?
Are getting longer, man.
It's an app called
Balls.
No. It's how old does he look?
All right, cool. I ain't like that. I ain't want to be on there.
I got
my passport on.
Now he's gonna look old because he put the peace sign up.
Oh, word. Yeah, but so you know, I'm still working with the Good Belt Gang. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully, me and Mike Kaiser is gonna get together, sit down. That's what that's my next maneuver is. I really want to be a CEO. You know what I'm saying?
So you don't
want to
rap no more.
I'm gonna always rap because it's not even a hobby. A hobby. It's something that I use as a vehicle that's therapeutic. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't jog anymore to lose weight.
You lost weight though. You lost a lot of
weight. But I don't do it to lose weight. I do it simply because it's therapeutic to me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, I like jogging for that same reason. It's the only time I think, and I don't have my phone with me.
I kid you. I have my phone and have my headphones in there, and I would not play no music. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's therapeutic to me, and that's what music is. Making music is actually a therapy for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, but right now, like, I feel like I have to take this next step into my into this life. You know
so
what
you're
I'm
talking
saying?
To Even, Mike Kaiser?
I want to sit. Me and Mike Kaiser is talking about sitting down right now.
Wow.
You know, a couple of other people, but you know, not to throw it out to all these millions. But I'd rather work with somebody that I know. You know what I'm saying?
Like right.
I was there when Mike Kaiser smoked dust. You know what I'm saying? I was there. When,
what?
PCP,
is that
baby.
Is that why he went blind?
That's why I don't know about that. But that's why he won't smoke no more. Listen, if you tell him to smoke around Method Man, I bet you he run out the room.
I just smoked with Kaiser last week.
No, okay, you smoke around Method Man.
Now, what was
you know what? I'm not gonna lie. One of my friends smoked after Method Man in a video shoot one day, and she started having seizures, and we had to take her out of
there. Okay, hold on, because I don't want this to seem like I just said meth is doing some crazy.
No, but he told me it was just
rap about smoking dust.
Yeah, so back in the days, meth. I forget what they was doing. He was like, "Yo, watch me catch Mike Kaiser," and then. Caught my car, so he put one blunt in the siphon full of some other shit. And I forgot the other dude. What's the actor dude?
Was Kaiser wearing glasses?
They was playing the guitar. And shit. It was weird. He passed away. I want to say Malik Yoba, but that's not
PM Malik Yoba's alive.
Oh, actor.
I forget. He said,
was PM Dolan?
He just went. PM Dolan, the fat dude with the dreads, the KRS dude on stage. He fucked me up. But I was staying smooth. I was trying to stay smooth.
Now you doing a reality
that
show?
Is funny.
Listen, I get offered reality shows.
I bet.
The closest one I was coming to was Couples Therapy.
What?
They actually hit me, and the reason why I said Ghostface is a respectful dude.
Yeah, yeah.
DMX is a respectful dude.
Chingy.
Chingy was on there.
Yeah.
He was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that. I ain't do my math on there. Those wasn't in my lesson.
Oh, yeah, Tretch was on there.
Word. Yeah, Tretch.
You never studied Chingy?
I ain't studied my Chingy 110, God. Word. I had no idea. But, I was close. I'm close. I mean, I don't know because...
You need therapy, though?
One, I love my wife. I just want to know how to love her more.
Okay.
That's real.
Hey.
You know what?
I'm using that one.
I got a record dropping produced by DJ Mustard, Ty Dolla Signs, Rick Ross, and my boy City Boy D on there. CNN actually has an album that is dropping the week after June 16th. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send you the CNN.
Let's go back to that single. That sound like a reach for radio.
Nah, see, that's the thing about it. When I did Ty Dolla, which is the joint with me, French, Pusha, 2 Chainz, right? Mm-hmm. I felt like that. I felt like I was compromising who I was.
It's a reach for radio, you felt?
Not a reach for radio, but a reach for that sound. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when I listen to Ty Dolla, it doesn't sound like me. So Ty Dolla Signs, I've been working with Ty Dolla Signs for like 2-3 years, right before... should spit.
You're going to spit here?
Yeah. I do that every day.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I've been working with Ty Dolla Signs, and Ty Dolla Signs... He catered to a record that was just for me,
mm-hmm.
and when he gave it to me, I felt I took my time.
Okay,
what's going make on? Sure the box has tape in it. It's going through.
Cool. All right, cool. So, to make a long story short, this record sounds like me. You know what I'm saying? Me and Pharrell, again, I try to take Pharrell to another atmosphere because. You know, we recently did a record and we had the joint thing, Lord. The bystander screaming, Lord. The AK screaming, Lord. At the same time, he got Happy out. I knew they wasn't going to clear the record.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You got the biggest. And I told him, I said, Pharrell, it's stupid for me and you to do gangster records. Like, you got all these girls following you. I didn't want like 2% of that. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, I got to stop making gangster music. I am tired of having... Like, I had a birthday party last year. Dudes from Astoria came to see me. Dudes from Queensbridge came to see me. Dudes from Ravenswood. Dudes from Left Rack 40 Projects. And nobody said nothing to each other. Like, everybody's just in the room like, what's up, Nori? It's cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, they couldn't walk over to my section. I couldn't walk over to another section. And I said, this reflects my music. KRS-One said a long time, watch what you say because you attract it. I need to stop. I am too old for a TRNY. You know what I'm saying? I'm too old for another, y'all don't want to. Well, on my solo career, I'm going for the broads. You know what I'm saying? If I still make it joints, I'm going for the, because man, it's too many guys who come to my shows, man, and it's just terrible.
Like, you gotta grow up sometime.
I've been grown up. It's just my crowd ain't grown with me. My crowd want me to be ignorant. Like, it's like when I post a picture with Nas, everybody's like, oh, yo. I post a picture with Wayne. People be like, man, Wayne, you ain't supposed to be sitting. Wayne was the first feature you ever heard. Wayne was on the album.
One of your first
1999
A&R things.
You know what I'm saying? For real, I had the whole Cash Money, B. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I paid Baby, and then the next time Baby came and I hired them, Baby said, Playboy. This one's on me, Playboy. That's when Baby was that dude. That's when he was that.
Hey, that's when his name was Baby. It wasn't even Birdman. It was Baby.
When he was Baby, you know what I mean? Now he's still that dude, but you know, God bless their situation, man. That's one of the funniest, weirdest things. I had never seen this. Like, if you tell me Tupac was leaving Death Row, I could say maybe I saw it. Like, I never, like, people, there's no rumor or pun wanting to leave Terror Squad. So these stories, I don't know where these stories come from. But you know, this situation, man, I want to say God bless them both, you know what I'm saying? Because it's a weird situation right now, man. Mm-hmm. You know, Mac Maine and Bird and CeeLo and Wayne and Cortez and all y'all, I hope they work it out, you know what I'm saying? It's not really my position to speak on, but I have to watch because it's on my TV. But God bless them, brother.
I do feel like you don't get enough credit for a lot of things you stamped, though, because I remember you said that about Cash Money.
Yeah, go ahead.
I remember you jumped on... Pastor Troy, we ready.
Pastor Troy, we ready,
yo. You know what I mean? Slime is me.
Yeah, Slime is me. Pastor Troy, I went to North Carolina. I performed with Pastor Troy. He performed 20 minutes, one record. And by no way, shape, or form or fashion was that whack.
Man.
I'm talking about, we ready. I was like, yo, buddy, I'll pay you to get on your record. He was like, you know who I am? I was like, yo, I go to your shows all the time. David Banner. I was the first one to work with David Banner. I was the first one. Everybody used to think the South was corny. Like, I remember Outkast called me to come with them to the tunnel. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Well, Big Boy did. I never had Andre number. You know what I'm saying? But Big Boy called me to come hang with me at the tunnel. He didn't say he's scared, but he didn't feel comfortable going by himself. I came with him. And I was the dude that hung out in the strip club. Because we got to remember, back in the days in New York, if you went to a strip club, you was a lame. You was like a sucker.
There was really no strip club.
Really no strip club. It was like Scores, like the white mm-hmm. strip clubs, and then it was like the Sopranos by the Bing.
The only strip club I think was Sue's.
But Sue's even came later. So then when Ice Cube came out with Players Club, there was an actual Players Club in Atlanta, and I used to go hang out there, and people and like my New York dudes was like, this ain't really that bad. Like, you know, you're thinking that this is some corny. And then we started going to strip club, and I started to embrace Crooked Letters. I started to embrace a juvenile. Like, I'm the one who came and I went to Angie Martinez, and I was like, and people was like, yo, what are you singing? You know what I'm saying? People was like, yo, what? Because I ain't know nothing, Juvie. You thought you ain't know what Future was saying. I ain't know what nothing Juvie was saying, but I knew it was a hit. Yeah. I was like, Everybody was like, yo, this dude Nori is on Prozac. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I was embracing these cultures, and I knew the South would be as powerful as it's going to be, because at the end of the day, New York can't go against a whole coast. You understand what I'm saying? Philly, D.C., VA, you still East Coast, my brother, but they claim the South.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, as East Coast, we would all have to show unity in order to compete with them. I'm not saying go against them. I'm just saying just to compete with them. You know what I'm saying? You got to think about how big the South is. You know what I'm saying?
It's been weird, though, because you got an interesting night. I remember even back in 2010, I wasn't even working in radio. You hit me up like, yo, I want you to narrate my album. I'm like, what?
Right, yeah. I mean, that's why I said, when I said Dame thinks faster than me, because I think fast, but Dame could do five different things at once. I can do five different things, but two of them is going to come out great. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So you gotta embed a team, and you also gotta make soldiers into bosses. Like, everybody can't be a boss. That's my man, Dame. I love him. But everybody, if we're all bosses, we'll never roll a blunt. You know what I'm saying? Because you'll feel like she's supposed to roll a blunt, or he's supposed to roll a blunt. So we'll sit here, we won't be high.
Mm-hmm. Nobody gonna smoke.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody gonna smoke. So there is positions and there's places, and that's just really what I want to do. That's what I'm doing with the Good Belt Gang. I want to see this new talent. You know what I'm saying? And like Swiss, I had Swiss early. Pause. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That sounded wrong. Damn, as it came out. Scott Storch. We worked on a Firm album, and Scott Storch was out there. I seen him was the ghost producer of Dre. You know what I'm saying? So when he left Dre,
And he told me, yo, I'm selling this beat for this amount. It was no problem for me doing it because I had the foresight. T-Pain, I knew T-Pain was going to.
You just said Dre don't do his own beats, by the way.
Who?
You just said Dre don't
do his own beats. Well, not in my face. When I was out there doing the Firm album at that time, it was Scott and it was Mailman. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then one of Dre's managers, I said, yo, how much would it be to get a Dre beat? And they was like, you know, like I ain't had no budget back then. They was like, just I'll tell you what to do. Just hire Scott and hire Mailman. And you know what I mean, and you'll get the beats or whatever. But yeah, it's I had the foresight to see a lot of, you know, people.
T-Pain.
But your ear is a great.
That's
ear.
Why I want to be an A&R. At the end of the day, if me and Kaiser, listen, Kaiser, if you don't hire the Good Bell Gang, you know that's the next thing I want to do is I want to learn the music business because it's like being street smart. All right, but now let's be book smart. You know what I'm saying? So I would love to be behind the desk and learn the industry because at the end of the day, I know radio. But if you ask me, yo, what's the letterheads for Power 105? I won't know.
Call letters, right?
Call letters. That's what I'm saying. See, I'm on point. I'm there, but I ain't fully there.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? You have an ear that I think, you know, because even, you know, with your records, and I always used to tell you that, I just felt like if you wasn't on No Disrespect the Penalty, if you wasn't on Penalty back then, I think you'd have been a bigger artist. Because, like, when you
That's
got
why
records,
Def Jam
like,
came.
I Love My Life with the Carl Thomas, that could have been a smash.
Right.
A lot of these records that you have, even Body in the Trunk back then. Everybody loved it, but I just didn't think they took you to that far until you got to nothing.
Nothing. That's Def Jam. So what happened was, my favorite CEOs in this business is Leo Combs, Kevin Lyles, Julie Greenwald, Todd Moskowitz, and Randy Acker, and Rob Love.
Randy Acker.
I said Mike Kaiser. Listen, when that chemistry, when they were together, that was my favorite. Like, I was they used to come to me, they'd be like, listen, I'm not going to tell you who, but they'd be like, listen, Jay and Ja Rule and DMX, they get the $4 million budgets. And they get the $3 million budgets. And you guys, you don't get that. But we're going to put you on tour for 3 years. And it's like, I actually learned how to do shows on Def Jam. Mm. Like, you can't, yo, you ever try to perform after Redman?
Impossible.
This guy is, you ever tried to, like.
Redman and Method Man together.
Method Man?
And Meth go
yo,
crazy.
Method Man, let me tell you something. Method Man is me and Meth was on tour. We was on tour, and Meth kept wanting to bring, he was the host of the tour. So he kept, this is a funny story, but I gotta say it. So he's on the tour with Keith Murray. This is my first argument with Method Man, my first and only argument with Method Man. Method Man is on the bus with Keith Murray, right? And we going on tour every night, and he's hosting. So in between acts, he's hosting. This dude want to do, right before I come out, I came to bring the pain. Hardcore. I think we got to stop this right here. Yo, hold up. You on the tour. You on the bus with Keith Murray, my dude. You perform after him. Before him. I'm not performing at the
but
bring
you
the pain.
But you had Super Thug, though.
My dude, you got to let that stage calm down.
Yeah,
you know why? Meth don't care. He's going
to
go in the
crowd.
Front row. He's going to wipe his sweat and slap it to the white boy, and the white boy going to lick it. Oh, yeah, I love it. You know what I'm saying? Wu-Tang, you can't do do this. Wu-Tang, you can't perform after that. You know what I'm saying? That's my only time me and Meth ever had an argument. I was like, yo, Meth, please, you cannot do that before me, man. You're still in the crowd. You know what I'm saying? But my point of bringing that up is Def Jam showed you how to do shows. And not only that, they made you work your record. Like Jay and Ja and D and L, when I was on Def Jam, they came out and they fully spent their budget on them immediately. Right. Boom. But me, Method Man, Keith Murray, Freeway, Cam'ron. So to speak, we were like the B squad, but they sent us on tour for the whole year. You know what I'm saying? Me and Cam did a paid in full tour for like 2-3 months.
You and Pone good?
Me and Pone is straight. We got an album dropping. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Hey. I just want Pone to come out a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? And that's really it.
Now, the freestyle, you know, the freestyles that come out every Friday.
Yeah,
Fab does it.
Yes.
JD Kiss does it.
I'm
waiting for y'all to do it.
No, we dropping the blend tape. We dropping a blend tape. We're going to do something different. We're doing a blend tape, actual blends. Big up to DJ Butch Rock. Mm-hmm. That's our actual DJ. And we flipped all the old school joints. I believe we inspired it because we threw out a little bit of love. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you got that off of the Beat Nuts beat.
and a chick singing over it. So I'm loving what Fab is doing. You know what I'm saying? I'm loving what Jada is doing. And New York, we're trying to. I don't want to say bring it back. We're bringing it forward. And we gotta support each other more. Like at the end of the day, the love that I see from New York artists in Miami. Mm-hmm. Or not just in Miami, just when you're out of town, you're a little bit more comfortable. If we could start doing that and supporting each other and get a good, even this station wars and, you know, like you hearing you got to give them the record or you give y'all the record and it's corny. Like at the end of the day, we ain't Bloods and Crips, man. You know what I'm saying? Even the Bloods and Crips is together, standing together in Baltimore. And we can't do that in music. You know what I'm saying? Like we're going to die if we don't help each other at some point. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like. It's cool, but if you see an artist, he ain't got a hit record in 2 years, something's wrong. Mm. Or he ain't out there trying, right. Something's wrong. Reach out. Say what's up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I call people. Yo, what's up? What's going on?
Charlamagne always talks about this. Wow. I say it as well. That once you get older in hip-hop, it seems like people, they don't want to F with you no more.
That's messed up. It's crazy because Rolling Stones could go on tour and Ebony and Ivory and all these people. Like in any genre of music, people can continue to tour. People can continue to get money. E-40 is my OG. You know what I'm saying? But he got to be real quiet about his age and be real. Like you don't never really hear him say that. And that's not right. Mm-hmm. Like Raekwon should be. You know what I'm saying? Should be proud of his age. E-40 should be proud of his age and so on and so forth. But it should be a market for that. You know what I'm saying? I remember at one point Def Jam had Def Soul, which meant it was the old goodies. You know, it was the Aretha Franklins and all that. Mm-hmm. Like, why hip-hop? Like, Chuck D, like, I ain't gonna front. The other day, I forget who had a... We living in a crazy era. You know what I'm saying? Like, I forget. I think it was Redman or somebody had a party, and Tahiri had a party right next to him. And Tahiri's party was packed. And it's great because Tahiri has a market. Mm-hmm. But you mean to tell me that, like, where is that market for the older people who's been out, who still got hit records? Redman got a you see Redman perform, you're going to be there for an hour and a half saying, catalog, damn, right. Damn, look how many things he got. And the thing about it's not just hip hop. When you the old dude in the hood, they want to kick you out.
Yeah.
Like, if you shot somebody your whole career, your whole life, and then you become 40, they don't say he's 40, he's chilling. They say, oh, he's butt, because you ain't shooting, and that's our mentality.
I think they respect you when you still when you popping though, like when you're successful. Like they could look at you and be like, all right, Nori's still doing the thing. Right, he got chips from back, whatever. Right. I think when you're successful, they still respect you, because nobody looks at Diddy and be like, yo.
You got to think about it. Like, pardon me for cutting you off. You got to think about it. Rick Ross is older than me. You know what I'm saying? Kanye West is older than me.
Mm-hmm.
Pusha is older than me, but they came out before me. So you could look at it like I'm after me. So you could look at me like I'm the old, or I could just look at me like I was getting money longer. You know what I'm saying? Right. I got on longer. But to these average kids, I'm 900 years old. You know what I'm saying? Because I came out in 1997. I got a music with tape on it. A cassette. I got an album with vinyl on it. And these kids really, they think vinyl is a clothing accessory. You know what I'm saying? Like, these kids buy vinyl. And it's like, no, at one point, there was real DJs who actually took, you had to bring your crates to the show, young guy. And they don't understand this. They're looking at me like, oh, yeah, I bought
my
a vinyl.
Laptop.
Yeah, I bought a vinyl to look by my laptop. No, I come from the dinosaur stages. But the thing about it, I can still work with Rick Ross. Mm-hmm. I can still speak to Lil Wayne. I can still make jokes with 2 Chainz. You know what I'm saying? Because I told 2 Chainz, I'm a body him on the record. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But
why do you act like we can't get better with age, though?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, human beings put value on everything except for us. Cars, it's a fact. Yeah. Wine,
it's a fact.
Wine,
it's a fact.
We're supposed to get better with time.
And you know what? But that's why Jay and Nas, and not somebody said that to me, but that's Jay and Nas is a great example of that. Mm-hmm. And now it got to be more of that. You know what I'm saying? Now it can't just be just them. Okay, they're the upper echelon. That's who made it. That's whoever. They still looking young. They staying in the gym. They juicing. They doing whatever they got to do. All right, it got to be others. Right. And not just money. All right, you got to stay relevant. You got to stay relevant. Like, listen, dude.
Legends are forever relevant.
I love Carhartts. Yeah. But I know if I walk in right now in a Migos show with Carhartts on, I'm the corny dude.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Or you might make them young kids be like, yo, that's fly.
But see, I'm going to do it to a certain extent. I'm going to be me to a certain extent. I'm not going to be me where I offend the new generation, because at the end of the day, I know this, when they talk about classic hip hop and yo, I was around when Big's album first came. Mm-hmm. I was around when Mobb Deep's album first came. I was around when CNN's album first dropped and Illmatic. It was mixed reviews. They didn't instantly say that was a classic. Mm. Yo, when the War Report came out, I was still selling crack on 97-30 57th Avenue. Akinelli came up to me, he had put it in your mouth. And Akinelli see me make a sale. And Ock jumped out of his car and he grabbed me and he said, I want you to pay attention. And he listened to every car that rolled by in the hood.
Right.
In the hood was playing the War Report. I didn't know how to get to the money. Mm. Ock said, he said, how much crack you had on you? I had a $500 pack. He said, gave me $500 and said, give me the crack. Took it and threw it away.
Did you see him throw it away?
Yeah, no, he threw it away. Okay. It's a fact.
That might have been a slick way to buy some dope.
No, I flipped on him. I'm like, yo, why'd you throw it away? He said, I paid for it. What'd you care about?
Right.
And he brought me on tour.
That's dope.
After that.
That's dope.
You know what I'm saying? He brought me on tour after that and taught that. See, these young kids right now, they just, you could get hot. And there's no respect. There's right. no artist development. That's why you have so many one-hit wonders.
Mm-hmm. Right. But you know what, too? But like you said, there's nobody teaching them. Like you said, Akinelli was
that's,
like, you know, like,
that's
you
what
know
I want to be. I want to be artist development. But yeah.
Right.
But so like I said, man, you know, we still promoting the Good Bell Gang, City Boy D, Sonogram, Tweez, Money Ming, Coca, Young Really the Don. You know what I'm saying? My man Ching Bing just came home after 10 years. He's standing, you home, my brother. You can unfold your arms. Come on, my brother. You know what I'm saying?
He got that fresh look.
Yeah,
to
he
him.
Got that fresh. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Ching Bing, I put him on the phone with you when he was in jail. He was over. He said, "Me, y'all, me, jail." Yeah, this is going down, baby. Come home, baby. You know what I'm saying? Big up my man Sig. And like I said, I just really want to be an executive. I really want to bug out. I would like to do a reality show, but something that make our culture proud.
No, right. We're going to make that happen.
Make our culture proud instead of making our, like, you know, give or take. Some Monday nights, I'll be sitting there like, Diablo B, it's a little crazy. It's a little crazy for me. It's a little crazy for my taste. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's what... But it got to be a show to cater to respectful people. Right. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
And makes sense for you.
That makes sense for me because I ain't gonna lie, I couldn't do no reality show with any woman threatening my wife.
Right? You know oh, forget like, it.
I love my wife.
But you know what? I'll tell you one thing, Nori. Every mm-hmm. time you come here, you're here over 60 minutes. It never feels like it.
It never feels it like just, it. I'm sorry.
It's an annual thing, though.
It
I'm sorry.
Never feels like it.
Listen, Nori used to came late this year.
Listen, I did, and I did come early. Like, I came late as far as being actual here, but right. I was, Sasha, I was
she
here
said,
early,
she
right?
She was smoking a cigarette.
I wasn't smoking a cigarette. Oh, look, I forgot to give us the vapor. Okay. Look, oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you for thinking it was a cigarette. It was chronic. Like, come on, Flipper. But thank you for thinking it was a cigarette. This is my new venture. I'm always hustling. I got, it's Nori Shorts. So I mean I know you don't smoke, mm-hmm. but it's like a hookah just in case you want to smoke a hookah. Like
yeah,
a hookah.
I smoke a little bit.
Okay, so look, you know we got y'all. You know what I mean? But listen, man, thank y'all for having me.
Let always
them the Nori Shorts. We yes. got the blend tape coming out May 9th, and then CNN album dropping the 16th after I don't know June after, June, and then I'm dropping the Rick Ross, Ty Dolla $ign, DJ Mustard record. And the whole Good Belt. And we also got a Sonogram record featuring Fat Trell. Keep it in the D.C. because Sonogram is from D.C. and Fat Trell. No, Sonogram is from Baltimore, excuse me. And Fat Trell is from D.C. So we got that whole thing going. I got my boy Tweez dropping Mouths to Feed. And we're going to just have fun this summer. Word.
Nor'easter came late, but it was worth it.
That's yes, right. Yes, absolutely. Yes. And we appreciate you joining us yes. as always.
Thank you very
and
much.
And I appreciate my calls. Every once in a while, Nori will text me in the morning.
Yes, I will. I yeah. do. Well, but see, I try not to text you while you're on the air because I am a fan of the show. I really wake up and listen to this show. I really
Nori
wake
used
up.
To text me. You don't text
that,
me no more because we're not in no challenge together no more.
Oh, that's so a fact. You know why? You know what it is? I was in a party with Hov, right? Mm-hmm. And somebody asked Hov for his number, and he curved them so crazy. I cannot ask a famous person for their number no more. Like, I seen somebody come up to Hov and was like, and Hov was like, "We not gonna do that, Playboy." The wow. dude pulled out his number and he said, his phone, and he was like, "We not gonna do that, Playboy."
Wow.
If I pull out my phone, I gotta give it to everybody. And everybody,
oop.
And since then, I can't ask an industry dude. Like, I'm like, hey, what's
who
up?
Who's the person to ask for?
I ain't getting that, my dude.
Like I said, Nori's the OG. Like, he'll right. call me if it's a good interview. He'll tell right. me if it's a bad interview. Right. He'll tell me no matter what right. it is. He's the OG. He's the one that can say whatever he wants to you and you don't get offended.
Right. You know, I watch all of y'all interviews, man. I watch all y'all. All y'all right. doing a great job. I've seen it from the beginning till now. saying that you did a great job. Scarface was probably the most hilarious one. When he kept getting up, he kept doing this. I said, "Yo, that's the real Scarface. He's really that funny, bro." Look at Jamie Foxx. Yo, what's up with Will Smith?
Jamie Foxx got a wall full of hairlines. Like,
definitely. But yo, once again, man, it's the Breakfast Club. Your boy NRE,
yes.
Hit us up. It's going down.
I love that he's ending the show.
It's the Breakfast Club.
Yeah. I always say.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.